This morning lesson is titled Speaking Terms. This morning scripture will be coming from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. That is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet, live our lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and please our Lord, our Savior. May the Lord bless the hearers and doers of his word.
Amen. Door will be open. Amen. I want to say good morning. It's good for us to be here. What a lovely day it is that God has given us to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, more than anything else, we want to be for God a people, and God wants to be our God. We have to have ourselves in position to be used by God all the time as we live and breathe and have our being. God has called us. We must respond to that call that we might live and live eternally. Amen?
Amen.
You know, in John chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, there's a lesson that Jesus talks about the shepherd and his sheep. And he calls him the good shepherd. And it says in verses 4 through 5, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't even recognize a stranger's voice. The title of this lesson this morning is called Speaking Terms. Speaking Terms. I don't know who you're on speaking terms with and who you're not on speaking terms with, but the lesson is entitled Speaking Terms. Speaking Terms. Never talk to strangers. Day after day, month after month, and year after year, and for countless generations, this is what we preach and teach our children. We preach and teach our children, never talk to strangers. Just don't do it. You can't be on speaking terms with those kind of folk, whoever those kind of folk are. But to be on speaking terms, what does that mean? I know what we say it means, but what does it actually mean to be on speaking terms with somebody? It means to know someone well enough to talk to them. That's what it means. It means to know someone well enough to be able to just sit down and just talk to them. Galatians 4, 8, and 9 says these words. Howbeit then, when you knew not God and ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? The question this morning is God a stranger? And if God is a stranger, do we stick to our age-old rule, never talk to strangers? How many of us actively just sit down and talk to God? I mean, do we just sit and we just, listen, you find in the book of Genesis that God spoke to Adam and Eve all of the time. They were always having a conversation. The Bible says he used to walk through the garden in the cool of the day just so he can talk to them. How many of us deem God as a stranger and we just, for whatever reason, can't seem to find ourselves in a conversation? We talk about everything and nothing, don't we? We talk to anybody we want to. Sometimes we pick at folk just so we can hear them talk. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says these words, pray without ceasing. Talk to God all the time. Talk to God and don't ever stop talking to God. Never hesitate to talk to God. Never pause to talk to God. Never stop. Talk to God. Has prayer ever been a burden to you? Think about that. Think about it for a second. Has it ever been a burden? Or is it just a custom? Has prayer ever been a ritual to be performed? Or is it a matter of very little concern, either with regard to its frequency or its regularity, or regard to how urgent it ought to be? Has prayer just become a burden to you? When was the last time that you sat down and had a conversation with God? And if you did, how long did it take you to open up that conversation? You know, some people you got to warm up to before you talk to them, right? See, I got a granddaughter like that, and you got to warm up to her first before she says anything. If not, she's going to just look at you. And we haven't taught her not to talk to strangers, but that's just who she is, and we are all like that. We have to warm up to you first before we have a conversation. How many of us have not warmed up to God? And if you warmed up to him, you better stay warm. Listen, maybe it's a burden to you because you have not learned the preciousness of prayer, the secret preciousness that only talking to God can give to each and every one of us. I mean, you can talk to me and you can walk away and you can still be empty. But in order for God to fill you up, you have to approach God empty and talk to him and allow God to fill us up. I mean, I want you to think about it. That's the reason why the tomb was empty, so that we might be filled with the conversation that comes from God, with the conversation to talk to God, to tell everybody else that, you know what, I had a talk with God, the tomb is empty, and you too can be filled. It's the preciousness that comes from talking to God. It's a great opportunity, but for some, it's no more than an obligation. Lord, you know, I got to go in this house and talk to my brother. I sure don't want to talk to him. The last time we had a conversation, it wasn't nothing nice. Why? Why is that? James says, you receive not because you ask not. And it's probably not even conceivable. It's not possible for man to truly appreciate how great God's blessings would be if they would fervently and effectually ask him according to his will. But we want to ask God for what we want. We want bubblegum from the sky. So we can chew on what? It has nothing to do with our spiritual needs at all. Don't you know that God would open up a blessing, open up a window of heaven and pour out on us blessings that we just can't count? Blessings beyond our comprehension simply because we talking to him. The Almighty God is faithful to us. And if we, as his consecrated people, as the host of his spirit on this earth, we have the absolute right to call on him and to even call him Father, if we understand that and use it to the fullest extent, how great of an opportunity that prayer would be in our lives. How we would surely be filled with the goodness that comes from God. But we're asking for the wrong things. We're looking for the wrong things. We got somebody talking to our ear to ask for the wrong things. Anybody ever ask you that? Well, you know them better than I do. Why don't you just get over there and ask them, do me? Isn't that something? And we bring that into our spiritual lives. I need you to ask God for this for me. There are a couple of attitudes that often prevail to hinder our proper prayer life. It hinders us and it robs us of the advantages of God's blessings in our lives as well. First, there are those who rebel against prayer. Maybe you can see yourself in one of these three. I don't know. But there are those who rebel against God all the time, and they rebel against praying to God. It's actually offensive to them. To engage in prayer with fervency and regularity to them is a sign of weakness, or in many cases, it's a sense of shame. It embarrasses them and causes them to revolt against the idea of expressing petitions to an unseen God. You know, you're talking to somebody that they don't know, right? It's like confiding in a stranger. I can't talk to him because I don't know him. And you absolutely need to get to know God. You can't talk to him if you don't know him. You can't do it. In today's world where we see people talking to strangers all the time, text, Instagram, Facebook, you don't even know who they are, and you're talking to them. Yet we have claimed that we know who God is, we've gotten to know God, and rather God knows us, and we dare not even have a conversation with God. I dare say right now that if God had an Instagram account, Twitter, Facebook, how many followers would he have? You can raise your hand if you want. Probably tweeting right now. We can't seem to be able to want to talk to God because it's like confiding in a stranger, and we've been told all our lives, never talk to a stranger. So we become rebels to prayer. We don't even want to do it. We'd rather talk to somebody else about something else and not to God. It's the second thing. See if you see yourself in it. Some decline prayer because they feel like they're the man. They feel sufficient enough to do any and everything that they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. They have a feeling of self-sufficiency. They're egomaniacs. They're megalomaniacs. They think that they can just get the job done all by themselves. You know, the help of an almighty God is not needed according to their ideals. I don't need God except when I call him. I got this. They have too much confidence in their health, and then it breaks down. They have too much confidence in their wealth, and then they become poor. They have too much confidence in their credit rating, and then it gets to be 501. Listen. The help of the Almighty God is not needed in their lives because it suppresses their comprehension of their dependence upon God. Listen, we have got to know that we need God. And if you don't know that you need him, you can't talk to him. One of the things that happens to children immediately and even before they are born is their mothers get to know that child even in the womb, and they talk to him. And they have a conversation with him. And the child doesn't speak back, but the child is understanding and growing so they can get to the point to when the time comes, they can speak back to that parent. Isn't that incredible? When are we going to get to the point when we can talk back to God? We can talk to God because God has been nurturing us. He's been loving us. He's been giving us everything we need, and we, in all of our flippant behavior, we don't even want to talk to him. Just like our mother sometimes, we don't talk to our mother. She's done everything for us. We don't want to talk to our fathers. He's done everything for us. Well, I don't have to talk to them because I'm grown now. I'm self-sufficient. You know, only those that are grown spiritually, they will not even know that they're grown. They're going to continue to talk to God because they recognize their weaknesses. They recognize that they're not strong without God. They recognize that nothing can be done. It is impossible to do anything without God. You know, God will never tell us, like our parents told us when we was growing up, he'll never tell us you talk too much. Ever been told that? Go outside and play. You talk too much. Wouldn't that be wonderful if God was to tell us that? He'll never tell you that because God loves to have a conversation with each and every one of us. But we've got to get ourselves in a position to develop a relationship with God where he's not a stranger and we can sit and talk to him. We can lie down and we can talk to him. We can get on our knees and we can. You with me? Genesis 11:14 says that we just got too much dependence upon ourselves. It says, then they said to themselves, come, let us build. Let us build ourselves a city Nimrod and the people on the plain of Shinar. Let's build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches to heaven so we can make a name for ourselves. We don't have to talk to God about anything else. God didn't have to give us a name. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to talk to each other. They got to talking to each other so much, God says, we're going to go down and we're going to stop from talking to each other. Confounded their language. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says this. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We have too much confidence in the things that we own and not enough confidence in God. We even talk to our dogs. Amen. We talk to our cats. We talk to our plants. Talk to them now. We talk to our automobiles and we shine them. We even give them names. But we will not talk to God. The third person, maybe you can identify with him as well. Many of us probably neglect prayer just because we're just unconcerned about it. It's like growing up in grammar, so we used to say, you don't even give a care. You don't give a care about prayer. Completely unconcerned about it. We're neither for it nor against it. And certainly, we don't consciously oppose it. And some of us would not intentionally deny its value. But we just get too busy with life. Amen. Is anybody here with me? Can amen that? Listen, we get too busy with life to talk to anybody. Girl, you ain't called me about 2 weeks. Girl, you know I just been too busy with life. You know, I had no time to even talk. We do the same thing with God. We get too busy with life. And God calls upon us to do something. We say, you know what, God? That just slipped by me. I got too much laundry. We get too busy with life to talk to God. And life seems to be the more pressing thing at that time. And without deliberately renouncing prayer in our lives, as Christians, you know what we do? We neglect it. We neglect it. And nevertheless, we join the ranks of those who simply do not pray. We don't pray. Perhaps for most of us, that's the most dangerous attitude of the three that we can have. And it's the most easily one to be adopted. Maybe you can identify with that. All of us, every last one of us in here, I would say that we stoutly advocate the right of the Christian to pray. It's his privilege. And we fully understand in our mind the need for prayer. And while we even fully intend to continue in prayer, yet we can be sucked into the vacuum of our worldly concerns, sucked into the vacuum of our ambitious desires, and we soon find no place for God. We soon find no time for God. We find no place for prayer and no time for prayer, and God becomes someone that we can't talk to. He becomes a stranger. God becomes a stranger. And we know fully well you can't talk to. You better not do it. Boy, this flesh we live in gets us in all kind of mess, doesn't it? But it's the spirit that God identifies with. It's the inner man. It's the inner man. And we've got to talk to God that we might be refreshed daily in our inner man and identify with the God of heaven and earth that has rescued us and has called us out of darkness into marvelous light, has given us joy beyond compare, and we can't seem to want to talk to him about that. He saved our lives. We were groping in the darkness, and we can't talk about that. He gave us the love of our lives, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, and we can't talk about that. We sucked in to all these worldly concerns that we have. And it's not intentional that we don't pray. We just don't do it. Is that real to you? Is that real? Can I encourage you to just pray to God. We don't talk to strangers. Let me tell you where the seriousness of the situation is involved at sometimes, because you have people sitting in the congregation and they know what you're doing and how you're doing it. The seriousness of the situation comes sometimes in public prayers. Sometimes you get men that come up here and they don't even know what to say. Am I right? And you're leading the congregation. You ought to understand the seriousness about this. You're leading a congregation of Lord's people in prayer. It's intercession for the congregation, and you need to be serious about that. And I'm telling you right now, not even as God's man, I'm telling you as Emmett Collins, don't come up here if you ain't ready. Gramercy, if you ain't got it right. Don't come up here if you just been fussing with your wife and you won't come try to pray for me and you ain't praying for her. Don't you do it. It's a serious matter. And we get up here and we don't know what to say sometimes. We use rote and we use ritual. Prayers are said and we forget about the urgent demands of the very present time. And we use that same old phraseology of another decade and we adopt it as our go-to prayer. Let me tell you something. When I was growing up in the Baptist church, I knew the very prayer of every deacon that he was going to say from the beginning to the end, because he said the same thing over and over. It didn't matter what was going on, whether it was a baptism, whether it was communion, whether it was singing, no matter what it was, somebody was sick. He got down on his knees, got the sweat rag out, started all that noise. And he said the same thing over and over and over again. Don't you do it. You got to answer to God for that. You're leading God's people in prayer. You ought to at least be in a position to do that. Men. Men. Amen. Listen, I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for the same things day after day and even year after year. But it's wrong to just say the same prayers because we learned them years ago. They don't always fit. It's wrong to use vain repetition because we're just too lazy or too unconcerned to be in the moment. If somebody asks you to pray because their son just got hit by a car and you start praying about something else, where's your concern at for the moment? Listen, it happens a whole lot when people get up and they pray at the Lord's table. We just gonna keep it real. People get up and they pray at the Lord's table and they just say the same old prayer over and over and over again. But I want to share a little hot secret with you. Don't you understand that the importance of the Lord's table is about thanksgiving to God? It's about thanksgiving. Not about the spilling of God's blood. How some people get up and say, you know what? We're going to pray, Lord, for the blood that you spilled on Calvary. No. Let's get that right. Look at the scripture. He said his blood was poured out. It wasn't spilled. And that's the prayer I want you to pray for me. Pray that his blood was poured out, because it wasn't spilled at all. It was no accident. Spill seems to, in my mind, conjure up an accident. Jesus went to the cross voluntarily and he poured out his blood that you and I might be saved. And how dare you get up here in front of everybody and talk to God on my behalf about that? Men, I'm calling you out now. If you won't see me after services, that's fine. You know where I'm at. We talking about dealing with God right here on petition of the congregation, on behalf of the congregation. Women can't do it. And if they could, they probably got some women here could do it better than you. But God didn't call them to do it. So you do it, and you do it right. We got to be aware of the moment. Don't just get up here just praying for anything. Bless this cup, represents your blood, was spilled on Calvary. No. Think about who you're talking to. That's what you got to do. We talking to a God of heaven and earth, our own creator. And we don't have the reverence to recognize that. Here's what I think would be really, really incredible. Let's do it. It would be astonishing if we could just take a secret ballot And find out how many Christians really pray at all. How many of y'all really pray at all? Have you even prayed today? Or you just listened to Brother Morris at the beginning, Brother Banks at the beginning, and you kind of pitched into that? How many Christians, let's take a toll, how many Christians even really pray at all except to concur in public prayer? 6 days go by, filled with the cares and concerns of this whole world, for the things of this world, for your own things, but nothing has actually been said to God. We wait till Sunday. Well, that's a good deal right there. I'm in. Wait till Sunday. Morning comes and we awake to the urgency of work. It's Monday. Evening comes and our mind is filled with concerns of the day, homework and our children and all those things and social contacts. And night comes and it closes its dark shadows around us. And we need rest so badly that we fall asleep and never have even talked to God. Does that fit anybody? Come on up. Come with me. Come ride with me. We go to sleep, we close our eyes, and we either forget or we postpone our prayer. Lord, help us if we never wake up. We spend a lot of money in the church on programs and gospel meetings and vacation Bible school. We put a lot of time and energy in it to make it a success, but we fail to reach out to God and pray over it and pray about it. As a congregation, one or two people might be doing it. But everybody's not doing it, because if everybody was doing it, you know what? Everybody would be here. Amen. Amen. You would be here. And we wonder sometimes why we falter when interest seems so low and when few people are converted, because we're not praying for their salvation. We're not praying for their attendance. We're not praying for them at all. Have you prayed lately for me? Have you? Do you know if I've prayed lately for you? Do you know that? Have you asked the Lord to bless the word so they can have free course and free reign in your life and in the life of others? Have you exercised the privilege of praying for those who are our elders that watch for our soul? Do you pray for Banks and Reed? Do you? Or you just talk about them and what they're not doing? Have you asked God to give you wisdom so you know the truth more perfectly? Have you asked God to give you wisdom so that you can know who you are in Christ and know that it's not you, but it's Christ that lives in you? Have you asked God anything at all? Matthew 6:6-8 says these words. But when you pray, I want you to go into your own room, close the door, and pray to your Father in heaven, who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like them pagans. Don't all this vain repetition. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Because they're charismatic and they could speak well. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. But you got to ask him for what you need. You got to talk to him. You got to have a conversation. Perhaps one of the most important blessings that we have is the opportunity to pray in secret. Oh, man, to just let it all hang out without reservation. To pour out our request to the one who can hear us. And it doesn't matter where you are, from the most remote corner of the world, he will certainly hear us in our time of joy. From the remote corner of the world, he's going to hear us in our time of sorrow. Or from the remote corner in the world, in your own closet, in secret, he's going to hear us in our time of peace. From the remote corner of the world, our God is going to hear us in our time of trouble. He's going to hear us. And not only will he hear us, he has promised to answer us. Are you listening? Are you listening? You know what I'm most grateful for? One of the things. I'm grateful that we can pray together in the assemblies of God's people. And even more grateful that we don't have to wait for somebody that think they're more important to come in and we got to pray. We can't pray because somebody's not here yet. I'm so glad we don't have to do that. We don't have to wait for others to assemble before we pray. We don't have to wait for a public place to become available before we can pray. We can go right outside in that street and stop that traffic, start praying to God. But we got to stop before we get hit, you know what I mean? We can do it, though. I'm grateful to God that we can just speak to God anytime we want to. We don't have to wait for anything else. But one thing we ought to know is that we just can't talk to everybody about our personal and spiritual issues. We just can't do it. You better hurry up and know that some Christians are not in a position to talk to God for you. They're just not. They're not. Because they just can't wait to betray your trust. You just can't wait to spread that poisonous chat among others about what you've said in secret. Here's that phrase, but God. Only when you're in secret, when you're alone with God, will you have the closest contact with him and intimately speak to him concerning any and everything that you need or want, and with no breach of trust at all. What an intimate relationship with God to be able to speak to him. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Love is unlike anything else in this world. It brings on intimacy that you can just sit and you can talk to the one that you love about anything, anything. And as you're talking, you might want to rub their hand from time to time. Amen. And you start rubbing their arm from time to time, get up rubbing them cheeks. Amen. I'm talking about intimately talking to someone about what it is that you need, because you know that you trust them, and not only that, they can help you. Amen. Only a fool talks to people who they know can't help them. Amen. They just want to hear themselves talk, right? Listen, I'm asking every one of you in here to pray for me because I know you can do it. Amen. And just know that I'm going to pray for you because God has given us that privilege that we can petition him. And we can speak to him without reservation, knowing full well that he is there, he will hear, and he will answer. But we've made God a stranger. We made him a stranger. But that's why Paul told our long-departed Thessalonian brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. It's time to have regular prayer, regular conversation with God. And he says prayers are to be made for leaders of nations, for the sick, for the healthy, for preachers, for the lost, and for everyone. And what we ought to be asking God to do, here we go, is to forgive us of our sins. We don't want that. We won't keep them. We should ask God to help us to do better right now. Ask God to help us do better in the future. We should ask God to protect our loved ones. We should ask God to prosper the work of this congregation, the work of this church, and we should make an effort to do it as well. Our prayers should be for ourselves, but not for ourselves exclusively. We've got to be careful not to be selfish in our petitions. Pray for your wives and for your family, but you got to be on speaking terms with them in order to do it. Amen? Let me tell you what I'm talking about, men. Listen to this. Listen to this, men. I'm talking to you now. 1 Peter 3, 7 says this. Husbands, big old word right there, the first thing. In the same way, be considered as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Here you go. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. If you're not treating your wife right, God ain't going to hear you. It's a tough one. Peter said it to the Jews of dispersion, people who are suffering already. You got to treat your wife right. Don't make me say that again. Here's a little Gramsci for you, or God just ain't going to hear you. Now, notice it says likewise, so women, you don't get out of this either. You got to treat your husband right. Amen. We talking about being on speaking terms here. If you can't talk to your husband or wife, you certainly don't bring it to me. Don't call Brother Collins up if you ain't got it right. Bring me just one side of the story. Because that's what we do. Even when we pray to God, we bring him one side of the story, but God knows all. But I can't know that. But you only bring me one side, and you want me to try to do like Solomon. But don't cut the baby in half, Brother Colin. We got to pray for others, church. And we got to pray for the ability to serve others. We got to pray for the good of others, because there's good in everybody. And we've got to pray for the work that God has given us to do. If you don't know what it is, find out what it is that God has given you to do, and you just do it so you can be on speaking terms with God. Here's something else Peter said to the Jews of dispersion in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of a sober mind so that you may pray. You got to be alert. You got to be sober so you can pray. Pray without ceasing, never hesitate. Pray without ceasing, never pause. Pray without ceasing, never stop. Pray without ceasing, let us all just talk to God. Because there was a time we couldn't talk to God. But here comes Jesus Christ, isn't it? And that's just a wonderful, I want you to be able to see that. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and he was without sin. So because of Jesus Christ, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we receive with mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Maybe you don't need no help. Maybe just confident in yourself. Well, if you don't need anything, just don't bother God. Because I know I need it. I need help more than you can ever think or imagine. But to be on praying terms with God is truly one of the most precious privileges we're going to ever have in this life. And it's reserved for the Christian. Yes, let's use it. Let's make it our own privilege. Let's utilize it to the fullest extent so that we may work out our own soul salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I appreciate the brother reading the scripture and you're hearing. Here's what Paul said to young Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So when you pray, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for those in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's the only way we can lead a quiet life is to pray, church. You wonder why there's a lot of turmoil in your life? Why there's no tranquil in your life? Because you're not talking to God. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, on speaking terms. Who is it that you're not on speaking terms with? And are you on speaking terms with God? Be sober-minded. Be alert. Because more than anything else, we need to pray. We need to pray. And if you're not praying, it's showing in your life because it's not tranquil and quiet. It's not peaceable. You're filled and you're vexed with turmoil from Satan at every turn, and you know it. There are those here who need their souls saved. And we need to pray for that as well, that their souls might be saved. And then to pray for their own salvation. But they may not want to be saved. They may not want to be on speaking terms with God. They may not want to even acknowledge who God is. But nevertheless, he calls them one day, hopefully, through prayer, and supplication, through intercession, they will hear the call of God. Because God says, Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. He calls us to hear his word in John 6:45. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. We got to believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. John 8:24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins. You can say what you want, talk to who you want. If you don't believe Jesus the Christ, you're going to die. You got to repent. He said in some of the same verses in John chapter 10, he says, look, speak to men about me on earth, and I'm going to speak to God about you in heaven. I'm going to talk about you. But you got to talk about me. You got to confess me as well. You got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And once you're baptized, boy, don't ever stop praying. Amen. Let me tell you something. In Acts chapter 10, there was a man named Cornelius. And the Bible says he prayed all of the time. And he wasn't a Christian. So the Bible qualifies. You know what it says? And his prayers went up before God as a memorial. God remembered that he was praying. What was he praying for? His salvation and the salvation of his family. He wasn't praying for no Cadillac. Amen. Praying for the salvation of your soul, and I'm praying for the salvation of your soul, and you ought to be praying for the salvation of your soul, because God is waiting to do just that for you. But you got to want that. Got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3:26-27, for we all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. And John the Revelator, John in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, be faithful until the end. Don't ever stop talking to God, who is faithful as well. If we can help you today, those of you who are not praying, Christians who are not praying, to start praying. And those who are without God, outside of the ark of salvation, pray for your salvation. And don't just pray for it, get up and do something about it as we stand and sing this invitation song.
At the door is standing.